In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello.
I have such an awful situation going on with my desk and chair. I've got my chair, first of all, is a piece of shit from Amazon. And it's got like, it looks like it's 100 years old and was found in the woods. It's so bad. And it's like, it's too high. When I cross my legs, my knees hit my desk. Mm. And I can't really do anything about it because I'm trying to get a deal from the Uplift desk that you can do it as a standing desk.
Ugh.
Well, I know, but it's kind of fun to like walk on the little portable treadmill we have and like write or like edit the podcast or whatever.
Really?
And that's what I want. And so okay. I can't get a new desk. So until they give me a $700 desk for free.
Yeah, I see your problem.
I know. I mean, I was like, I'm a writer and I do these funny little videos. Can I please have this? And they were like, what is your Instagram handle? And I'm like, I didn't include it. God damn it. So I was extremely brave recently.
I'll bite.
Well, funny you should say bite because it was at the dentist's
office. Here comes
office.
The dentist story. Yep.
Yes. Okay, so first of all, I have to go all the way to Beverly Hills.
Yes. I don't know what's coming this time, but I know it never starts in a sympathetic way, regardless of what you think.
It's so amazing how many of my like state-funded appointments take me to Beverly Hills.
Mm.
So I had to go for oral surgery because I had a horrible tooth infection like 2 years ago. And then they did scans and whatever, x-rays. And then they were like, oh, your root is really small for this tooth. And I was like, excuse me, your mom's root is really small. And then they were just like, well, it doesn't matter what her roots are. Yours are going to break off. And I was like, what?
That's
and then I
probably had, because of the mescal I had before I realized I was pregnant. I'm so sorry.
Actually, worse than that, they said it's from the $3,000 braces you bought.
Oh, no. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
apparently, God. Like, it moved the teeth, and then I don't know. I have no idea. But
well,
that
we
kind
shouldn't
of thing
have installed them ourselves.
So, anyway, I had a short root, which, whatever. And then they had to have it extracted, which I put off for as long as possible because I didn't want to feel like a hillbilly. And then... To be fair, this is the very back tooth. It's like, it's not, you can't even see it when I laugh, although I always think you can, so I don't laugh anymore.
Yeah.
And then.
Well, life has also gotten really sad.
Yeah. So it was the world. It was awful because I had to get it extracted, and then I had to get a cadaver bone put in as a spacer, and then I had to wait many, many months until I could get an implant. And then when I found out how much the implant was, I had to then wait further months because it was, again, thousands of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally got a new credit card. So I recently after just paying off all my debt.
Oh, my God. Well, your credit score goes up when you use them, but still.
Not if you don't ever pay them.
That's so true. Here to tell you.
Yeah. But so I then finally got the implant.
Should've gone to Mexico.
I'm not going to go get it. I understand that it's just, it's, you know, it's nothing against it's like the dentistry an hour and a half in Mexico. Drive,
and there are a lot of people here that are very happy. I understand with that. Their...
No, it's like, well, going to the one that is here and is my, there's my insurance and it's not a hop the border, go to some guy with a good reputation from people I've never met.
Well, it shouldn't be that way, should it? But that's how it is.
I totally believe that it's great, but yeah. I'm personally not going to go fuck with that shit.
Oh, okay.
And I notice wow. You haven't either. So,
well, I don't have any tooth problems. Oh. I take care of my teeth.
You have like 5 fillings.
Ignore your teeth and they'll go away.
You have like 5 fillings and your front teeth are fake. I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. To clarify. I am the only child in the history of the world who genuinely walked into a door.
It was from a door.
I didn't. It was Grandmommy's off the laundry room, and this should give you an idea of how old I was or how tall I was. The screen door part at the laundry room,
to go outside, as
a bar. There's like a window top and window on the bottom, and so I walked right into the bar, broke one tooth, only one
of
them.
That's not
broke
a hard door. That's like an aluminum door.
Yeah,
your teeth were made of marshmallows, of course.
No, that wouldn't have broken.
I guess that's true.
And sugar then the other time, I was with Craigie. And maybe Angelique, I'm not sure. And we were playing at the toboggan slide outside of the indoor tennis place, you know, on Democracy Boulevard down from Montgomery Mall.
Mm-hmm.
Our parents were playing tennis, so they let us wander the woods by major highways. And I tripped over one side of the toboggan slide and hit my tooth on the other side of the toboggan slide. And broke the other one. And I just remember Craigie looking at me, horror registering on his face before he said, "It's not that bad."
Oh, no.
So I think that was all done before I was 10.
Mm.
And I have been getting bonding on my teeth ever since because I do not want to get veneers. I don't want them to grind down good tooth.
Yeah.
To put that on so that I just end up needing root canals and all the shit you've been through.
Well, I don't have veneers, but I've had root canals. Yeah.
No, that's what I mean. You had to have root canals. So
when you broke also, both of those teeth.
Oh no, that was because you broke your tooth. Yeah, yes. You're laughing at me. You're the one who couldn't catch a balloon.
Okay, so your teeth broke in like they chipped your left one chipped at the angle like in the center, you know, like on the inside, like towards the middle.
Yeah, I had
of
it.
Your,
I mean, it was perfect for a straw.
Yeah, and then the other side broke perfectly, so you had a little hole, teepee-shaped hole.
Yes.
They were your grown-up teeth, or they were your baby teeth? They were your grown-up teeth, obviously.
Obviously.
So, yeah.
No, I decided to keep my baby teeth, and I had them bond them. And then I had them do not a root canal, but a tooth canal. It's just an aesthetic choice, but...
So then I was at Grandmommy's house when I was, like... 6 or 7 or something around. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe I was a little older than that.
You're a little older than you should have been.
Okay. Well, I was playing superheroes in the basement with my cousin Alex. And I took...
Cousin was there too.
Yeah. Interesting. Huh. All in Potomac.
Yeah.
Interesting. Hmm. Well, I took a baton, like a twirling baton from one of your high school days and was wielding it like an axe. And I slammed it down on what I apparently thought were going to be empty boxes in a basement. And of course it boing and hit me square in the teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Well, tooth, I guess. And so then I cracked a tooth in the exact same way that you did. Mm-hmm. And then I got I had to get a root canal and then they put, I guess, bonding on or whatever. And yeah, it's been fine ever since, but. There's a slight discoloration, which again makes me feel like a hillbilly. I hate teeth. Why is it so hard?
No one else notices.
Well, nobody else says that they notice the discoloration.
Everyone talks about it when you walk past.
I know. The worst part is I love
who's that
I love,
hillbilly going to the dentist in Beverly Hills. I bet she has a cement pond out back.
Cement pond.
That's from the Beverly Hillbillies.
I figured. Oh, that's a perfect joke. Oh, perfect joke, mummy. So anyway, my story, whatever. I went to the dentist, couldn't find it. I was spent 25 minutes trying to get to a building I've been to before. I literally called them six times. It was fraught. I was like, I took their directions. They said where it was, whatever. And then I ended up going to the address that I had, and it was an old bridal store that's closed temporarily, but I don't think it's temporary. And then I called them, and then eventually on the third call, it was like, oh, that's not even the address. And I was just like, in the background of this whole scene, there's just Beverly Hills Medical Plaza behind me. Like, of course it's in there. And I've been there. To be fair, I went in the back when I went before, but still. And then I get in there and I'm like, oh God, I'm finally here. And I was like, what the fuck is the suite number? And I couldn't find the suite number.
But there wasn't like a
directory. Yeah. Well, I went over to the person who works in at the front desk there. And then they were like, well, she opens a binder and she's like, I've had a lot of caffeine. She was like, here are all our dentists. And there were like 15. And I didn't know the name of my dentist because I've had like seven dentists in the last 3 years because of changing insurances and stuff. And because I went to a dentist in the fashion district in LA, which let me tell you is not as fancy as it sounds. It was very much like a lot of fleece, My Little Pony, Pokemon blankets.
I feel like
and blowing
I just,
in
my
the
vibe
wind.
Is that there would be a lot of broken mannequins there. Am I right?
Tons of them. And a lot of like tiny legged, big butted jeans with like white stitching and Ed Hardy sort of like diamonds. And everything's just one's blown over. And it's just like that place was bad. So yeah, I've had a lot of dentists lately.
Yeah.
And I didn't know the name. And then like the voice dictation, the voicemail, I couldn't understand the voicemail that I had that said, this is so-and-so calling from Dr. So-and-so's office. And nothing. I had no information. And so then I just had to call them again.
So you must know now.
I still do not know.
Oh my God.
And then I had to call them and say, I'm so sorry. What's the suite number? She said 415. I said, okay. I went to the fourth floor and then there were suites and it was turn left for 400 through 414. Turn right for 416 to 426. The only one there wasn't was 415. And 414 was a dentist's office, but the door was locked. So then I went, I had to call them a sixth time.
Oh my God.
And then I swear, literally, that's not an exaggeration. And I called them and said, I'm so sorry. I'm not stupid. I don't know what's going on. And I said, what did you say the suite number is? And she said, 215. I said, God damn it. And I hung up without saying anything else. I get there and they're all laughing.
Oh, good.
Like, yeah, thank God. And I was like, I don't know. I don't know. And she's like, I thought you'd been here before. I was like, I have.
Well, this is great, Paige. At a time when we're just trying to get listeners and maybe romance some manufacturers of cool products to have us advertise, you have made us into the Clampets.
Oh, my God. And you know what? None of this would have happened if I had asked Jack to drive me. He would have figured it out much faster than I did.
Oh, yeah.
And the thing is that I wanted to get a ride because I wanted to take a Xanax because for some reason in the last couple of years, maybe it's because I've been to seven different dentists, some of them in some very scary areas. Scarias, if you will. I have been very nervous with a lot. And it's been suddenly dental pain has been like really painful for me. So I was like, I have to do this without Xanax. I have to do it without emotional support. Mm-hmm. And so the whole thing was awful. And then I get there and then you know, they set it up and it is the most Victorian, like lobotomy. Like it was, they had to put the x-ray apron on me. They had me lean flat. Then they put a blanket on me and said I couldn't put my hands above it. And then they put this tray in front of my neck and then they wrapped my head in a towel and underneath my chin in a towel and clamped it shut and then wiped my face in antiseptic. It was fucking terrifying, to be honest. And I did all of it by myself with no drugs. Well, lots of drugs, but no Xanax, but they did lots of lidocaine.
Oh, I was going to say, clarify.
They did lidocaine and gave me Advil. And that was the worst part. I thought I was going to get out of here with like a couple of days on some fucked up pills. But instead they were just like, how's Motrin? And I was like, Motrin doesn't really work for me. And they were like, okay, how about Advil? And I was like, oh, I thought, okay.
Aren't Advil and Motrin the same thing? They're both ibuprofen. They fooled you. You're like, yeah. Advil doesn't really work for me, but Motrin will be fine.
Well, I was trying. What I was saying was half true. Where I was like, well, there's one kind that doesn't work for me, and I don't know what it is. Like Aleve doesn't work for me, and she didn't, I guess, know the difference because Aleve does nothing for me.
Aleve is different, and Adam's allergic to it.
It's naproxen. Yeah. Oh my god.
Yeah. They used it. The brand name used to be Naprosyn.
It was Naprosyn. Paige Naprosyn. Beth Naprosyn. I have not had caffeine in a long time.
Wow. I had a lot, but not maybe enough.
Yeah. So anyway, it was just really brave. And it was 45 minutes of them like drill. Like I just felt like I could hear them shredding my gums. It was horrible. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, they put it in and then I was only allowed to eat broth and like soft foods. And then the thing is I was like, okay, well, at least in a week, I'm going to be so skinny because all I had was broth.
Yeah.
And then instead, that wasn't really making me feel full for some reason. And so it's been a lot of pasta and rice, which is, you know, again, not different. Speaking of which, I learned about intuitive eating today, which is like, listen to your body. If it says it's still hungry, eat more. If it says it's full, stop eating, which is how I gave myself permission to have a third piece of cake for breakfast.
Yeah, I was like, what if your body's telling you want Pop-Tarts? Because... Yeah. I don't think that's a reliable, you know, instruction.
Yeah. So I had three pieces of cake and it was delicious. Oh, all right. You know what wasn't delicious?
What?
Whatever this movie is called. Legend of Lost Locket Love. Legend of the Lost Locket?
I think so.
Okay. Should we play a theme song?
Yeah, please.
All right. You're really jamming out. I always do, but you don't usually nod.
You're
like
doing the bang.
I know. Exactly. I was doing the Elaine Benes practically, but you were nodding your head like you were at a sick Red Hot Chili Peppers concert. I don't know. Couldn't think of a band.
I'm as likely to go to that as I am to any.
Well. Welcome to Nameless Best Friends. I'm Paige.
I'm Beth.
And today we're doing Legend of the Lost Locket, well, which is on Peacock.
We're back, by the way. We're back.
Okay. So, yeah, let's talk about it. So, we're sorry we haven't been doing Hallmark movies. We have not been really doing anything. We haven't had any time because I went to New York for work, then to South by Southwest for Richie's work, and then came home, had COVID for 2 fucking weeks, and then had oral surgery, as I believe I've mentioned.
Wait, you had oral surgery? Yeah. Hey, do you have any dead guy in your mouth?
No, God. So I have not been available.
Yes, and my beloved finally came in from Europe after 10 months away. And I haven't wanted to do anything but him.
Oh, well, and we also have had book stuff. I had deadlines and you had deadlines. We've just been doing a ton of – it's just been a very busy time. And we didn't know it was going to be quite as busy as it was. I think we were overly optimistic that we could still manage to do things. And so we didn't like make an announcement that we were having a break or it was the end of season two. Or, like we didn't just know. So, but we also had a lot of trouble finding things. Like things weren't on Peacock and then they were – like it's like – then it was and then it was like at that point it had already been like a month since – it's like – it's just been whatever. So we were like, okay, the next one that comes out, we'll do it. And that's what this one is. And so now we'll, you know, we'll be keeping up a little bit better because we're not as busy. But
yeah,
it's been a time. And this one came whimpering into.
Man, was I optimistic about this one, though.
You were?
That's cool. It really was. Well, no, I was excited about, I like a little bit of mystery. Mm-hmm. I love a historical mystery. Usually.
Yeah.
I love antiquing stuff. I love all of that. And I really loved the the lead actress in this. So mm-hmm. I was excited about all of that. And I might have liked it a little bit more than you, but it had, I mean, we'll get to it, but it just had the critical problem of what the
not making any fucking sense.
Yeah. I mean, there are better ways to do things. And I don't know why Hallmark insists on always having things very, very convoluted in order for people to hide something they would never bother hiding. And we will get to that. In fact, Hallmark describes this thusly. Mm-hmm. When an antiques expert takes on a quest to find a long-lost locket that promises to bring the wearer true love, she finds herself in conflict with, but also attracted to, the town sheriff.
Ah, yes.
She didn't have conflict so much as he was a dick.
Yeah, it's just everyone was being like nice, but also there was a lot of difficult shit. It was just weird.
Okay, so I put on the captions early when I went, did he just say Wilma?
Yeah, I know. You love the Flintstones. So you almost always hear things like that. But yeah, Wilma.
Well, that was my whole thought. There is only one Wilma. And that was not her. And it was so strange. So she wants, it begins at a historic point.
Oh, it's not happening, Mommy.
What?
Did you come up with the title?
Oh, my God.
I know you. It's just like, I will never let go of this format point.
Okay, just
and
the
one. You're about to say the one.
Antiques
Boar Show. You bitch! Okay, well.
Did you come up with one, Paige?
Oh, my God. Yes, I did. Antique Boar Show. And I texted it to you earlier, and I have proof.
I don't know.
Yeah, so if let's, I may, let's get into it. Go in ahead.
It was about 1820. I think it was 1820, whatever. So about 200 years ago. Mm-hmm. And there is a generic blonde woman and a generic dark haired man in costumes. And they're parting
with
ways.
iPad face.
And she wants to give him a true love locket that belonged to Queen Elizabeth. And quote, she never took it off. Not until the day she died.
When she then removed it.
I know. So I'm thinking if she never took it off and she died in it, perhaps. Her lady-in-waiting shouldn't have snatched it off her neck and given it to her fucking daughter or whatever. Like, what the fuck? Oh. That was a problem. That was like, no. So not only did somebody steal Queen Elizabeth's most treasured possession, but they ripped it in half pretty easily.
Oh, I said that she pulled it apart like an Oreo. Oh,
yeah, it was. It was. Yeah, that's a perfect description.
Yeah. Hmm.
I would like Oreos right now. My body seems to be crying out for them.
Well, listen to it. I had Oreos. I had Oreos the other day at Richie's aunt's house, and I couldn't help but note the restraint in having single stuff Oreos. You can't
I don't even feel imagine like the that. Double stuff is the same as the single stuff. It must be, but it just isn't the same. You really have to work for it to be as good as it can be.
And anyway, you're saying you like double stuff better?
No, I'm saying I like single stuff better, even though it's more work.
Wow, interesting.
So, Amelia, then we go to London in the present day. Presumably, those two idiots were in England somewhere. And Amelia wants to find... For some reason, Amelia has half. So, one of these lovers just, like, gave up their half.
Well, yeah,
which
exactly.
is weird since we do... Spoiler alert, they end up at near Boston. So, what, did somebody just drop it at the train station or something? Like... Who knows?
Half well, I of think, it. I think that the reason that the generic couple in the beginning was parting was because he had to go to America, and I don't know why.
Right.
And she had to stay because she's fancy.
And she tried to give him the locket, and he couldn't accept a gift, so she ruined it, and then he took it.
She gave him half.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, and it's really confusing. So then, yeah,
and by
I guess,
the way. It appears as though, well, she did. We know that his picture and her picture were in it. So I'm sure
yes.
Elizabeth loved that too. God.
Rolling around in her mausoleum.
Yeah, we're taking out Sir Peter Derby or whatever his name was. And let's just put our pictures in there. Actually, you know what? I also want to put the dog in.
You know what? I'm just going to break it in half.
Exactly.
So, yeah, and then it's crazy because she's British, Mm-hmm. And I just never see a British lead in these movies unless they're secretly a princess. So mm-hmm. I was kind of waiting for her to find out in some way she was like, there was some sort of inheritance and a lost lineage or something like that.
Yeah, but that would have been interesting. No, not till Enid.
No.
And her boss, or Duke or Earl or something like that.
Yeah. And then her partner at the antique shop mm-hmm. looked like exactly like Tina Fey, but also looked like...
She did.
But also looked like maybe Valerie from Sabrina the Teenage Witch had grown up into being that. And so then I looked it up because I was like, what is that her? Like, I can kind of see that it could be. But Valerie from the Sabrina the Teenage Witch looks exactly the same these days.
Wait, was Valerie the first friend?
The best friend. Yeah, yeah.
The first one.
The high school.
The good
friend.
One.
Yeah.
Yeah. With the curly hair?
No. She had like...
Yes, I know who Valerie was. But who was
she
the first
She was very nervous.
Friend? Who was the first friend?
Let's look it up.
Remember? With the curly hair in like the first year or two. Jenny?
Oh, that sounds... Yeah. Jenny? Yes. Oh, yeah. Now I totally remember her.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Totally remember her because there was the one episode... Yeah, yeah. She was great. She looked 30 the whole time, but she wasn't.
Well, you don't know that.
No, I do because she was born in 1975, so she would have been like 25.
Yeah. That's like 30.
She has not done anything since 2005. I hope she's well.
Well, what are you looking at? It would say if
Wikipedia.
She was dead, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Well, it would say if she was. Holy shit, we've gone off the rails. Anyway. So Amelia wants to find the other half and has reason to believe this will make her a fortune. So she's going to...
Well, and they want to... if they find it, then they're going to be able to expand the antique shop ? Internationally ? If they simply find the other half of this ancient locket, which is just like, it's not... Again, like, that's what you're saying in the beginning. It's like, things don't just equal money. I guess that... I mean, the fact that they were talking about Sotheby's and stuff, I guess it would if it was Queen Elizabeth's, but it's like, I don't know. It didn't seem like, I just feel, if everything about it felt crazy, like she wants to expand to Amsterdam and to Paris to have antique shops.
Yeah. Well, if there's like one thing they're famously lacking, it's history and antiques. I mean, whatever happened in Amsterdam, for example. ask Justin Bieber.
Oh, no.
Remember, he thought that Anne Frank would have been a believer.
A believer.
That's what he wrote in the guest book there.
Yeah.
It's painful. It's very,
it
very
is painful.
Anyway, Wilmington. She's going to Wilmington, which sounds like you've made it up for one of your spoofs.
Hallmark videos.
I can't wait to see what you do with this one.
Yeah.
And she's coming in, and of course her car breaks down.
Of course
the romantic lead shows up and offers help, and of course she refuses.
And of course he's dressed like a cabbie. Why has he got that newsboy cap on the whole fucking time? I could not believe he was the romantic lead.
I tried not. Yeah. For one thing, he looked like her dad. I tried not to think ill of him for the hat. But that, you know, that facial hair that looked like he just slapped some electrical tape on randomly.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I was trying to think what exactly to say it looked like. But the thing, because it was like a rectangle. It was like
he had his
trimmed.
Mask on and then put it down so he could sip. From his Coke or whatever.
Well, and the thing is that, yeah, he seemed a lot older than her. And I don't know, all the Hallmark girls, like, are always older than I think they are because they are all really pretty. And I don't know. So maybe they're not a crazy age difference. But he just had zero romantic lead energy for me.
No,
I did not.
No charisma. I thought there was no charisma. And she had a ton.
She had a ton. To the point that when he pulled up and then the roadside assistants pulled up, I was like, oh, that's got to be
Jack O'Shea.
Yes, but before he got out, I was just like, this has got to be the romantic lead. And then he got out, I was like, please God, let this be a love triangle.
Oh, the satisfaction that would have brought.
Oh,
but no,
my God.
That is not what happened.
And I was never going to get past the newsboy cap. I still haven't forgiven Keira Knightley for her newsboy cap in Love Actually, so it's not happening.
Well, I mean, it's what happened to Britney. It was her downfall. No one comes out of this life having worn a newsboy cap for any amount of time. No one comes out of that okay, you know?
Like, no. In the defending your life, like, projection, that's just, they'll just show every time you wore it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
This is why you're going to hell.
It's a bad idea. You made other people uncomfortable. You repelled other people. I'll say it.
Perhaps ruined their day.
Yeah. Anyway, I thought the B&B was lovely, though. And it turns out that it was run by his sister, her nameless best friend, who I also liked. And those are the only two people in the entire movie I did like.
Yeah, but we didn't find out it was his sister at first. Because, okay, so first...
Oh, yeah, I've just spoiled the plot, haven't I?
No, well, so first we meet Francine, the nameless best friend, who I only know because she said it four times at the end. her daughter is like, they're like, she's like, when was this built? And she's like, well, and then she asks her nameless daughter, when was it built, honey? And she's like, you know, whatever. It turns out that because she's studying for a quiz at school, which I don't think you study for quizzes, but her test or whatever.
You don't study for pop quizzes. Although, I guess if you're really studious, you're always studying for a pop quiz, and sometimes it's satisfying and sometimes it's not. I just don't know, Paige.
I just don't know.
You raise a good question, though.
I do, don't I? But so she's – but I guess that the – it just felt like, okay, so this kid's test is going to be on the town and, I guess, her own home.
Yeah.
And she says when she grows up, she wants to be an officer of the law. Mm-hmm. Which to me was shocking because I don't think anybody is that happy with cops right now. Mm-mm. But of course it didn't make any sense at all until we learned that her uncle is a cop. And so therefore that makes a little bit more sense. And then when the roadside assistance guy was at the diner, I was like, oh no, he is the other love interest, please. And then mm-hmm. I was like, oh, he's definitely the mayor, because she's like, what else do you do? It seems like you do this and you do the roadside assistance. Like, what else do you do? And then he's like, well, and then they get interrupted. And she goes,
if only
and meets...
the hero changed hats as much as that guy.
And then she goes and meets the Wilmington Stepford wives. And we mm-hmm. learned that the library is only open on Saturdays. Which feels crazy, but unfortunately, like at first I was like, that's fucking batshit. And then I was like,
it's not impossible.
I bet it's not impossible.
I hope it is so crazy. Impossible, but I'm not going to, I don't know. I'm not going to lay any bets on that.
No. But so then he walks in and he's like wearing a suit and whatever. And I think he says he's on his way to court or whatever. So then they walk together. And then he says something about, well, I own the bed and breakfast with Francine. And she goes, oh. You and Francine. And it was like, and then it, like, she acted so weird and as if that they've been flirting for weeks and she was just finding out he had a girlfriend. Like mm-hmm. they've had one scene together and she didn't seem that fond of him and they had no chemistry and nothing happened. There's no reason she should be like, oh, you're taken. Fuck. Like, it doesn't make any sense. She got so weird and quiet and like started to give the silent treatment and like it seemed to intentionally make it awkward without hiding it. And then he's like, my sister. And she's like, oh, good. And it was just weird. And I don't even know.
Yeah.
Like, in what way were they heading towards that? Like, and I understand that of course they were because it's a Hallmark movie. But like, you can't just like assume like, okay, well, of course they like each other. You have to write it in.
Yeah, exactly. We can't just assume that.
But he also has such a squeaky voice and the absolute worst facial hair. So there's just no, I cannot see it.
But. There were some valuable salt shakers on the table. Fortunately, she had her jeweler's loop. She took it out, recognized the hallmark without even having to look it up.
And said the word hallmark. Sheffield.
Well, that's true. I didn't even think of the irony for that. But yeah. And the women say there's tons of that kind of thing here. And one even has loads of jewelry. It's as – and I wrote at this point cheerfully and optimistically, this will be fun.
Oh, but no.
I did. But I mean, it's very weird that this town just happens to be full of valuable things. It's not like, gold in them, there are hills. You know, it's just a miscellaneous town. You know what I mean? It's like just full of Pawn Star porn.
Yeah, Pawn Star porn. There you go. But that's the thing is that like, when she looks at that, is for them to not... Yeah. Let's break it down. For them to not know that the salt shaker is valuable, but for her to then determine that it is valuable, for them to then say, oh, the town's filled with stuff like that, is to say, there are things and stuff everywhere here.
Go look in that gold chest over there where we keep the sugar packets.
Well, but it's also just like, if you didn't recognize it as valuable, then how can you say that the town is filled with valuable things? Because in that sense, I guess you're just saying, yeah, we got stuff like salt shakers everywhere.
And that could be what they meant. Or we have old things all over the place. Yeah, things that weren't nice enough to put in our houses, and we just put them in the diner.
Yeah. Exactly. And then she ends up getting roped into, she's just like, well, she's like, oh, I have my mother's jewelry and I, you know, I don't know. Would you take a look at it? And she's like, sure. And then she like offered her free services to those four women. And that's all she offered the two was to those four women.
Well, stand by.
Yeah.
Because we're getting there.
Yeah.
But first of all, she and hat guy.
I don't know Marcus, his name.
They're walking down the street in what is clearly an autumn scene, which made me feel like this was a, you know, like one of those movies. They were like, well, we'll just plug it in somewhere sometime. Mm-hmm. And I hate that about Hallmark because they do that. And it's because they don't just have a little bit more quality control. This could have been much better. Mm-hmm. They get to an antique shop and he says, oh, it's been closed for years. And she says, that's strange. This is a perfect place for one, which is like, what? Behind a door? Like, what makes it perfect? This is a town of about 213. Yeah. And I don't know that it's a perfect place for any commerce.
Well, but I guess the thing is that it was funny because that line also struck me. And I was just like, in that every fucking little ass town has an antique shop. And it doesn't make it perfect for it.
No.
It just, they're just, you're surprised there isn't one.
Right.
Like, that's what it is. Like in downtown Frederick where we lived, it was like, there were like 40 fucking antique shops.
Yeah.
It didn't make it the perfect place for them. They just were there.
Exactly.
And if they hadn't been, it would have been like, oh, that's so strange. This kind of place always has one.
Mm. Well, at this point, I did write again with undue optimism. Nice interaction between these two.
Oh, God.
I know. I was trying really
headed
hard.
Headed for a nosedive here.
Yeah, well, all of a sudden the hat shit's going to hit me. I can't remember why, but I'll come to the note. But yeah. She goes back to the B&B and says, I just found out your brother's the town sheriff. And Francine says, he takes that seriously, too. And I was no. Well, I hope so.
Well, no. First, she goes to the archives. And then she's like, I need to see your archives. And then, like, some woman from Slovakia says, no, but you have to ask Bob. And then and then Jack, the guy who was the roadside assistance and the diner guy, shows up and was like, he is the fucking mayor. And then he wasn't. And then Bob comes out. Yeah. And I thought Bob was just like a guy who was like, you know, in charge of the archives. He was the mayor. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Imagine going to the mayor to be like, can I get into the I don't know. It just seemed crazy.
Oh, come and then on. At the end, he was monocle short of being the Monopoly guy. Who Mandela Effect does not have a monocle. That's Mr. Peanut. Go on.
Oh. And the Utz guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is not a West Coast thing. And I only realized when I realized I really, really missed Utz sour cream and onion chips. And then when I was in New York, I bought like 5 bags of them.
Did you know all of those cardboard round containers in Grandmommy's basement that had things like Barbie and Easter decorations and stuff were Utz potato chip containers?
That does sound familiar, yeah.
No, okay, then.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
So, yeah. And then they're talking about the Founders Ball. And I just wrote, oh, my God, everyone has 50 jobs. Oh, my God, we're only 20 minutes in.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I had that same problem. And apparently everybody – well, the printer doesn't live in town because they misspelled
Wilmington. But then – but wait. So then he's like, no, you can't look at the archives. We don't have the blah, blah, blah funding, blah, blah, blah. We don't have anyone to take care of them, blah, blah, blah. She's like, and she doesn't just say it in the way that I would, but – I'm a dick, but I would be like, that's literally my job is to be careful with old shit. So like, I think you could probably trust me, but she's like, I'm a trained preservationist, whatever. And then he won't let her in and stuff. And then she calls her nameless best friend, back at the antique shop. And she's like, I just
Jenny.
Wish Denny.
No, Jenny. Valerie is what I was trying to say. I was trying to call back a joke that wasn't that good to begin with. Carry on.
So she calls her and she's like, I just wish I knew what my mom would do. And she's like, well, I think I know what she'd do, but I wouldn't recommend it. And then it shows her breaking into the archives.
Her mom would be trying frantically to claw her way out of the coffin.
And so that's when she gets arrested. And that's when she learns that he's the sheriff because oh my God, everyone has fucking 50 jobs.
Yes.
And he just is just like, well, not so fast, Missy, and makes her sit down and then talks to her, but then like does let her go. So not doesn't so fast, her, but still pretty fast, Missy.
doesn't read pretty fast, Missy. Doesn't read her Miranda rights, by the way. And he was kind of forceful. So I was like, oh, he's breaking all kinds of code here. And then I thought that tracks.
And then we go on to learn that he doesn't even tell the mayor that she broke in until like 2 days later.
Yeah, when it's convenient for him.
Yeah, so it doesn't feel like he was following any protocol. It was really weird. And so then, that's when she goes back and we learn that the bed and breakfast host is the widow this time. She lost her husband and that's why he moved home from Boston and his big life in the big city.
He's such a good guy.
Yeah, and then we spent 20 minutes wherein the lead of the movie, whatever, Amelia, thinks she lost something but didn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's weird. How did that paperwork fall out of her journal? Like, I didn't even think that was a mystery. And it turned out it was. But it was like, I'm sure I fastened it in my journal. Like, does her journal snap shut? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. And what it also was like, she was just like, well, no. She's like, I can get you another map. And she's like, no, this had my personal notes on it. And then you look at it and it's just like, ask archives? Ask mayor?
Yeah.
Look at library? Otherwise, are her notes.
I noticed that map looked like something I would have had you draw at 9 years old.
It was very...
Of a silhouette book town that I was writing.
Yeah, or like a 101 graphic design. But But then she finds it, so crisis averted. But she's like, it still seems like somebody went through my bag. And then she gets the idea
She leave her bag there?
Well, when she was arrested.
Oh, all right, okay.
At which point they probably would go through her shit. Yeah, I don't know.
Did she
sneak in with her purse? Did she sneak in with like an enormous TJ Maxx purse like slung over her shoulder? Like that's not the stealth check. I leave my house all the time with just my phone and my driver's license. I don't know. You don't. I think she could probably break in a place without having her like lipstick and
backup
tampons.
I don't know.
You never know. So
she goes to the diner and suddenly it's Antiques Roadshow.
Yeah, it's like 50 people all with shit that she's just like, I think that's a genuine piece of porcelain. I think that's a genuine black
porcelain. Well, no. Don't forget there's a headline on the front page. It's Amelia Scott is in town to assess antiques, written by Jack
One day
O'Shea,
only.
The pancake flipping tow truck driver with the, the hardened newsman. I don't know.
Yeah, on the beat.
I mean, again, I'm thinking such a tiny, boring little what would they have put on the front page absent that big event?
I know. Squirrel still outside. local still can't get squirrel to be pet.
Area man bit by squirrel, not rabid.
Area man thought he lost something but didn't. Area woman thought she lost something but didn't.
Visitor. She was a visitor.
Yeah. Not this area woman.
Yeah. So it turns out everybody is in there with their valuable shit, and she knows what everything is. They don't need to have special experts like on Antiques Roadshow. And then at the end, she's just exhausted and visibly about 7 pounds lighter and says, it's been ages since I appraised like that.
And since I've eaten. Could I please have some water?
Please, please. May I now have some water? I did everything you asked.
Oh my god, I shook my mic loose. Oh my god. So
she goes to the mayor's office and she's selling all the tickets to the big festival celebration anniversary.
That's when she learns gala. That there's about to be a founder's ball.
Exactly.
I don't think I've done founder's ball in my videos yet. I'll have to do a founder's ball.
Oh my god. Oh, it should be physical too. It should bounce.
Founders Ball celebration. I'll give you credit for that one.
I have a really good one here to have a blow up ball.
Oh.
With like glitter in it that you take to the pool.
Why do you have that? You are such a child. It's so cute. Like that time I went through your purse and it's like, this is what a 6-year-old would keep in her purse if she could. It was like a little hairbrush and some mints and a little toy frog. Literally.
The frog had dental floss in it.
Does not make it not something a 6-year-old would have in her purse.
No, I guess you should. I think that's on Instagram. I can't remember what all was in it, but I mean, I'm ready somewhere. For Monty Hall at all times. They don't do that on The Price is Right anymore, but it used to start, which I have been watching a little bit of The Price is Right now. And then when I land on it,
you are getting older.
Yeah, I actually put series recording on password the other day.
Oh my god!
Oh, the old ones at least. But anyway, they Monty Hall used to say like, "I will give back in the day $5 to anyone who has a toothbrush." Does anybody have a toothbrush? It was really fun though because he'd come up with anybody with a flashlight.
Richie would have everything.
I would have everything too. I would have everything. I'm ready for anything. I am ready to do surgery.
And as I said, I usually leave the house with my phone and my driver's license, so I would not.
Yes. And then you say, would you hold my phone for me? Because I don't have a purse.
Yeah, exactly. And I've started putting my driver's license in Richie's wallet without him noticing. So I actually leave the house with nothing.
Wow. Okay. All right.
So, okay. So anyway, so once she finds out about the founder's ball, she goes and she's like, well, we could do an antiques fair the day after the founder's ball or whatever.
No, she made the deal. Figured it out. She said, I've sold tickets to their big ball.
Yeah, well, she suggested it first. She suggested it with the widow. And then she goes and tracks down the mayor. And she's just like, in exchange for this thing that I'm going to do, because I'm going to sell these to all the antiques elite.
You have to have an antiques fair, and I get to see the archives.
Yeah, and
at which chirps up saying, "I'll have you know, she tried to trespass."
Yeah, first of all, ingallant. Second of all, you didn't tell the property owner that his building was broken into, so that he could maybe address the weak spots in his security.
Truth.
It doesn't make any sense.
And this is where I wrote, I tried not to hold his stupid hat against him in season one, but now I hate him. And that's where it all ended.
Yeah. Yeah. But so then she makes this deal with the mayor. Oh, and then Poppy, his Slovakian mistress, is like, and she is Slovakian. I looked it up.
Oh.
She's like, honey, we have, he's like, oh, okay, sure. I'll show you the archives. And she's like, honey, we have reservations. He's like, we do? And she's like,
Where did he think they were rushing off to?
Yeah, exactly. Where did you think you were going? You didn't he's just being led around like Tom Girardi. But then
in ill-fitting clothes. Yeah.
So then she's like, tomorrow. Okay. So then they decided to come back at 9 a.m. And he's like, and the sheriff is like, I'm accompanying you. And she's like, okay. And so then at 9 a.m., they go and the documents are missing. The box is completely empty.
What?
And there's a camera in the box so that they have the the famous shot of opening something and having the people peering down to see what's in it.
Exactly. But it was so stupid anyway, because she's like, they're looking for a box from the 1820s. And she says, so it should be right over here.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's a banker box. Like,
yeah. And I guess I get, first of all,
they're keeping 200-year-old stuff in a banker box.
Like, in a mildewed box.
She just told somebody to use acid-free paper to protect their artwork, but
not plastic.
Yeah, and then, but yeah, this stuff is all just sitting there in a torn box.
Yeah, insane. And then he says there's no sign of forced entry. She literally broke in 48 hours ago. So what do you mean there's no sign of forced entry? It doesn't make any sense. And then he goes and he's like, I'm going to have to search your room at Francine's. And then without a search warrant. Well, I guess you ask for permission and she gives it to you, then you don't need a warrant.
Correct. But why would she give him permission?
I know. It's just weird. Also, it's weird because if it's somebody that you're having a romance with, it's really weird that he went through your stuff.
Yeah.
Everything which is just uggy.
It is icky in any romantic relationship, budding romantic relationship context. It is icky. His behavior was really, really gross.
She says everything seductively. She's like, she's talking to the young girl and she says, well, she's talking to him. She's like, if you're through, then I think that I'll go upstairs and find myself a jumper, which is like, she says it very sexy. And then the little girl's like, what's a jumper? And she's like, I think you call it a sweater. Would you like to come help me find a jumper upstairs? And it's very sexy. Yeah, first of all, hell yeah. Second of all, it's just, she said it like weird sexy. Yeah. And I was just like, okay. And then Francine is like, you know who knows a lot about the town? Enid. It's like, you didn't think to mention this before when it's the entire thing she's here for. Anyway, they go to, because they bought the bed and breakfast from Enid. I don't even think at this point they had said that Enid was related to the person she's there to see. Like, so then they go to this like retirement village and Enid is in meditation. And then she's so fucking disruptive.
Excuse me. Yeah, pardon me. Everybody, I'm sorry. It's a yoga class in the like.
It's meditation. And at the top of her lungs, she's like, oh, you must need me for a very official sheriff duty. And then she stands, she's like, oh no, sorry. You know, I love meditation class. And she's walking. That's when she's like, excuse me, pardon me. And it's just like, just leave quietly. It's meditation.
Other people are still in the zone. Well, yeah, not. It's just, probably not.
It's not even the same as being in a library. It's like meditation is specifically not something you want someone, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. So then she leaves. She's incredibly disruptive.
Yeah.
And then they go up and talk to her for a little bit and whatever.
Yeah, whatever. So Enid has an embroidered thing embroidered by Jacob's wife, Jane. Oh, don't forget, we have already figured out that James Jacobson has became Jacob Jameson. Ha ha! And yet he couldn't fool these people. And he had a wife named Jane. As in Doe. Jane Doe.
Jane Jacobson. James and Jane Jacobson.
I really didn't. I did not follow what Jacob and Jane and Wilma and James, what all of their, why they were like fucking on the run from the Redcoats. I don't know.
I don't know. It felt like there was so much revolution talk. Even one casual time where Amelia just casually like defended the English in the American Revolution.
Yeah. I'm not going to do anything with your tea.
You know, she's like, well, I understand why they were so mad. It's just like, okay, do you?
I don't know. About that. It wasn't really about the tea.
It's not about the pasta. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh my God. So yeah. So then when they're leaving Enid, she's like, you know,
did you inherit any jewelry?
Yeah. But then, and is it Enid who says, you know, he used to make a lot of furniture. Maybe there's something in an old drawer. Oh yeah. A locket might have been rattling around for 200 fucking years.
Stand by.
Yeah, well, but not just lying around.
It's not just that. His furniture shop, his workshop has been sitting there apparently untouched for 200 years.
And not as a museum, which a town like that would totally capitalize on. Yeah, it's just, oh, yeah, just like the banker's boxes. We don't know what to do with all this shit.
Exactly. We have no funding because we actually, you know, whatever. This is Brigadoon. We're only here once every 100 years.
Oh, you have this entire workshop, but you're worried about your business falling apart or something's going to foreclose. It's like, well, you've got a workshop dedicated to your ugly ass art.
Yeah. Exactly.
Your dumbass ornaments you don't even know how to ship.
Oh, well,
how do you sell ornaments? How do you sell ornaments if you don't know how to ship them? She shipped them to Hiddledy Biddledy. What was that town? Was
it place Heidelberg?
Called? Oh yeah, it was Heidelberg.
Hiddledy Biddledy. Anyway. It's not that small a town, Paige.
No, it's not. Anyway,
What was it called?
Ingedingy. Limby Lom.
England.
Oh yeah, London, England, not Lim Lom Ingedingy. So you were going to say, speaking of ornaments.
No, I wasn't going to say speaking of ornaments, just speaking of shit that's rattling around, they find a painting that's almost completely black.
Yeah.
Because it's got smoke damage from the fire. And she wants to have it restored. Marcus knows a guy in Boston with some nail polish remover. But it turns out to be Luis Alvarez, the famous mulleted art guy.
You know Luis Alvarez. She just thinks nothing of this man. She thinks nothing of this man. She's just like, oh.
Paige, we were all surprised he knew Luis Alvarez.
Well, I mean, that's not true.
And then they were talking about the cannoli an awful lot, and I was getting so eye-rolly, I was getting dizzy, and then Adam looked it up, and apparently.
Oh, I've had cannoli in Boston.
No. But I knew that Boston's North End was, you know, very famous for its Italian food, but I didn't know that it was Boston
such
cannoli was a thing, like New York pizza.
It is. And I went on the one day I ever spent in Boston, which was a nightmare because I had horrible cramps the entire time. We went to Little Italy for dinner. And then, yeah, I had cannolis from Mike's Pastry, I think it was. Mm. Weird. I don't know where that came from in my brain.
Well, and then, yeah, something about did The Godfather take place there in the U.S.?
Because
when he looked it up, it said something about the famous line, leave the gun, take the cannoli. So that had something to do with.
I would leave any gun and take any cannoli in any circumstance.
Yeah, but then when they got the cannoli, the chocolate on it, chocolate dots, Adam called them. I called them caviar and they looked vile. I think cannoli should always be plain. I don't want gooey stuff drizzled over it.
Never gooey.
Stay
I'm okay
with
the little tiny baby. Chocolate chips are good. I like those. But sometimes there's so much and they kind of hurt my gums because they have delicate
cold chocolate
mouth.
Chips don't taste good.
The little ones taste great. At least I have some really nice ones right now because I just made – what did I make? Oh, I made a flourless chocolate cake the other day. And I got little tiny ones. It was great. Little tiny ones to melt and – I've had a couple of fingerfuls of them. They're very nice. And I like cannoli when they come with the good ones like that, but not too many.
Okay. This is really veering down a boring road.
Well, you best start believing in ghost stories, Miss Swan. You're in one.
So Lewis texts him. He found something.
Come immediately.
The locket. Is in the painting, like, of course it is.
And he knew about it because her mom was always looking for the locket. So while the sheriff is parking, he tells her, he's like, it's the locket, isn't it? And it's, yeah. But I was so confused because the painting was of Wilma.
Yeah.
Who was holding a locket of herself. I didn't understand that at all. Why was it herself?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Damn it, I gave him the wrong half.
Damn, damn, damn. Come back.
Take this picture with you so if you are damaged in battle, they know what you're supposed to look like.
But that is what they said. Okay, so it's confusing though because at one point he said, well, but Jane, or no, but Wilma died in a fire with her locket, and that's how we identified her.
Oh, for
which
God's
is like
sake.
That's
okay.
Not real. Like, you made the joke, but it's like, it's not real that it's just like I don't carry around a picture of myself in case something happens. Like,
yeah, exactly.
I want them to know who I am. They would probably think that I'm exactly not me if that was the case.
Yeah. So then we've been introduced to this as being, you know, just hugely, hugely valuable. And then Lewis says, well, the gold value alone. And let me tell you something. I sold a gold coin last year for about 700 and some.
Mm-hmm.
And it was quite a bit more gold than that little half of a locket. So the gold value alone on what looked like shitty gold, because it, you know, it really looked like it was just metal.
Yeah.
Like you'd give a kid this locket.
I've sold gold things too, like weird bracelets I ended up with and whatever, and like things like that I just didn't need or whatever that I just was given. I think somebody's grandmother, like I just ended up with a bunch of somebody's grandmother's jewelry that wasn't, I didn't care about.
Yeah.
And when I was broke, I was like, I'm just going to sell this ugly ass bracelet I don't mind losing. And it was like, yeah, it was also like, I got like $300 or $400 for it. It was like big.
Yeah. I mean, and that's great when you need it, but as far as
it's not
being
on
like
the gold alone.
Yeah. I mean, it's not what her mother wasn't like questing her entire life to get the, you know, $300 that this gold could be, you know,
melted down into.
Yeah, exactly.
And who's going to be melting down what is supposedly Elizabeth the First's gold locket? No, you wouldn't be looking at gold value in that case because no one would melt it. It'd be insane.
It's entirely stupid.
Yeah, dumb.
And but then it gets worse because now Marcus is furious because she just wanted to find a locket that would make her rich and famous.
He's like, you know, this could have turned things around for the town, right? And she's like, and he's just like, doesn't let her speak. I hate when people talk over each other like that. Or when she doesn't get I couldn't get a word in edgewise. How was I supposed to defend myself? It's just like, I don't know, by demanding that you are allowed to finish a sentence,
right?
Perhaps.
No,
instead there's a misunderstanding, but it's also not a misunderstanding because it also is what her intention was as far as I was clear.
Yeah. Yeah, but so what?
Fucking sense.
It's none of his beeswax.
No, and it doesn't. And also, the town hasn't been just like so warm and welcoming. Like Francine is nice. The sheriff is weird. Jack is fucking everywhere. The mayor's rude. Poppy's bizarre.
Yeah.
Oh, and when they first got to Boston, she's like, "I've just had this feeling someone's watching me," and he's just like, "I'll check it out." And she's like, "I'm sure it's fine." He's like, "Okay." It's like, okay, great job, cop.
Yeah. That's how you save the taxpayers' money. I was never clear, and I don't really care to hear a long explanation if you are, but I was not clear on why Lady Wilma had to fake her own death at all.
I think it's some sort of Romeo and Juliet thing. She faked her own death in order to go be with him in America.
Well,
but then
it
they're
would
like,
seem
but then
so, but it wasn't clear. They didn't make that clear.
No. No, but then also they were like, well, her name was on, you know, in fact, her name was on a ship registry 2 days after she died. It's like, imagine being so fucking dumb that you fake your own death and then put your own ass name down on a ship registry.
It was
registry.
Her own name? It wasn't Jane Shaw?
I thought that it was, I don't know. Either way, it's
stupid. I can't
remember
and I'm not going
just
back
put a,
to look.
Just put a third name. You don't put the...
Yeah, exactly.
Doesn't make any sense. And yeah, and that name, by the way, she's like, wait... Maybe it's the same person. Her name is Jane Shaw, and her and Wilma's middle name was Jane, and her name was pronounced Fanshawe, and it is Featherstone's Haw, which he does point out, which it must be true, but that's fucked up. Fanshawe, and it's spelled Featherstone's Haw.
Well, no. was. Worcestershire and all that stuff. But yeah.
I was going to say it's like Worcester.
Yeah. Her just name, like, her, not whatever. Worcester. Yeah. So they were not very clever with.
No. But then she's talking about her mom. And she's like, my mom sold half the shop to buy the locket. Isn't the point of an antique shop to sell the things in it? It's not like she sold half the museum. That would make sense. It's just like she owned a franchise of Forever 21 and she sold half the shop to get the locket. It's like, well, yeah, you sell half the shop in any day you could if you
usually. Yes, we do have those in a size 7, but I'm sorry, they're not for sale.
I could never let them go. My mom opened a shop.
Exactly. Anyway, so Amelia is, for whatever reason, carrying on her mother's research into this nonsense.
Mm-hmm. And then
they
she
go
orders...
out to eat. They have the old, yeah, chips confusion.
Wait, I could have sworn I ordered chips. Oh, wait. They are chips. Stupid me.
You call them fries. And then he says, well, I just call them potatoes. And then I'm like, oh, really? Did you go to McDonald's and just, I'll have a Big Mac and some potatoes? I don't think so. I don't think you can just call them potatoes if, unless you're whatever.
I love French fry stuffed pierogies.
oh, my God. When I was at the store. There's somebody, okay, I'll admit it. I was at Walmart because I had to pick up my prescription. Listen, Walmart, well.
To call it by its full name.
Godforsaken Walmart. I was at Godforsaken Walmart. Mm-hmm. And so I was looking at the, I love to go to, I don't ever love to go to Walmart, to be honest. Pieces of my soul fall out on the floor behind me, but.
Only for somebody to come along 200 years later and try to pick them up.
Yes. The thing that Walmart is great for, well, I found Wickles. You told mm-hmm. me that they have the wing sauce that you like.
No. Not the wing sauce that I like. It's not just like, oh, you know, Paige loves that shit. It's not just that. It's that they have all this name brand stuff. Like you were saying, the Taco Bell sauces and stuff, and I happened to know that they
specifically said you love the Hooters wing sauce.
I do love it. But I don't want it to be like attached to like my no, that's what I
bury
like.
It in the Taco Bell. That's not happening.
No, but you know, I did bring it home in a suitcase once because I found it somewhere and I thought I was never gonna find it again, and then it broke all over my stuff.
Oh God. Well, but they have they have the whole Taco Bell everything. They have I did have a point. I was like, this would be a stoner's nightmare dream. I'm not sure. But you know, Chinese dumplings, like you get fried or steamed, mm-hmm. not the soup dumplings.
No, like New York Chinese restaurant. Yeah.
Yeah. They have those. I don't remember the brand, but they have them with macaroni and cheese in them.
What?
Yeah, it's redundant. Yeah. Or chocolate cake.
Ew.
I know. I forgot to. I was going to take a picture because it was unbelievable. And then they also, the one that was depleted was Korean barbecue, which was probably good.
Sounds good.
Yeah, but anyway, I just
that sounds foul. But I wouldn't trust the Korean barbecue if they thought.
Yeah, if they thought chocolate cake dumplings was a good idea.
No, and it's fine. It's like mochi is one thing. Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, he calls everything a potato. Yeah. Enid's room gets broken into, and there's a terrible little note left behind that says,
Stop the search or else. Two exclamation points.
Please. Mm-hmm. And then they're going to send that note off to Boston for analysis.
Yeah. Yeah. About family legacy. He's got a deputy dressed like a Canadian Mountie.
I know. Crazy. But then
did they just get leftover? That's how bad the budget cuts are. They just had to get costumes.
Yeah.
Listen, you just can't wear jeans and a t-shirt. You just need to look different. Just put on your vampire suit and let's go.
Deputy. but then he says something. He's like, she says who she thinks it is, who I don't remember. I think maybe it was
Claudia,
the
librarian.
She thought it was the librarian?
Claudia, the librarian.
Well, anyway, he says, I can't go around accusing people I've known my whole life. You are the sheriff. Mm-hmm. Your job is to address these things with people you've known your whole life.
No, he likes accusing strangers. We've seen that.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Ugh. So, anyway, blah, blah, blah. It was Poppy. We all saw it a mile away. Amelia's not pressing charges. Then Poppy and the mayor. I mean, like, who was Poppy's husband? Anyway, they're run out of town.
He was the mayor, Bob.
Yeah, okay, but then we have a mayor with a sash. Is that a different mayor?
No, that's the same guy.
I thought he came up afterwards. Anyway.
Oh. Yeah, that is confusing.
Yeah.
I don't know what we're thinking about. Yeah, because I registered him as the same, but you're right, because they were definitely talking about that. But they're also like, so then she's talking to the little girl back at the bed and breakfast, and then she's like, wait. When you were doing your test for a test about the town, was there an oak tree? And she's like, yeah, oh, yeah, that's where Jacob decided to build this town. And that's when I decided this town is starting to feel very Mormon. Mm-hmm. With Jacob and all his beliefs.
Yes. Very Waco, really.
Yeah, yeah. And then he takes her to Proposal Path.
Yes.
And she says,
yes, yes.
It's so beautiful here. And I thought, no, it isn't.
But this is where Jacob proposed to Jane. How does everybody know these people's private business and not know that she's Wilma? I mean, it's like,
yeah,
God, the sleuths in this town are really Scooby-Doo level.
Yeah. Well, no, they figure it out always. And then, yes, but
well,
it's,
they did. They figured it out here too, because the flowers, wait, the flowers.
And I don't understand what that indicated. Cause it was like the flowers on the, like, sewing thing. And then the flowers that were, in all the wood at the bed and breakfast. And then she's like, oh, wait, I figured it out. And then, well, first of all, when they're at Proposal Path, they're a scene plays out of James and Jane, or Jacob and Jane, whatever the hell, shows a scene of Jacob,
right.
Jacob and Jane, yes, reuniting. And yes, then her being just like,
I'm Jane now.
I thought I would never. Yeah. The name's Jane now. And he's like, the name's I'm Jacob now. Yeah. And then he's like, will you marry me, Jane? And she's like, yeah, Jacob. And it was just weird and role play.
Yeah.
And then I don't know why we're seeing that, because we really shouldn't have that information, because no one should. And it's just confusing. And then, yeah, they go back to the bed and breakfast and they're like, wait, the flowers, they're not crooked. They're pointing at something, which to me, they did not appear to be crooked at all. Anyway,
no,
they
it was
were
just a little
designed.
Yes, exactly. That's but they're pointing. I mean, who? There's nothing. I would not need to hide a dead body as carefully as they have hidden this half a locket that they had no reason to believe anybody would ever give a shit about.
And but yet they left 100 clues.
Yes, exactly. So why not just say, well, here it is. That's all he had to do. Carve it into the wall. It's here.
Yeah.
You know?
It doesn't make any sense. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, if you're going to do an insignia, just have the insignia be where it is. But it's just like, I don't understand the idea that, like, all this furniture is the same as it's been. Nothing's been renovated, even though the building looks like it's 35 years old. And then they're just like, oh, I'm trying to imagine, like, now, because their 1820 was the height of modernity because it was their present day. So I'm trying to imagine me today, if I owned a house, me just putting a big arrow and then hiding it in some sort of design and then pointing it all at, like, half of something that's built into the wall.
No,
it makes
it was
no
insane.
Sense.
It made no sense that this needed to be hidden like that, for one thing. Like most jewelry, even very valuable jewelry, even the Hope Diamond, until it ended up in the Smithsonian, was passed down or sold.
But it also indicates that she was alive when she designed all those things and pointed. She, in her lifetime,
together,
was like, I'm going to put this away.
Together they did that. Yeah.
But what happened to the second half?
I'm going to put this in a brand new polyester bag, like what somebody would send you a dog tag on from Etsy.
Yeah.
And I'm going to just put that in here, into this box and into this wall and in, you know, behind this. And why?
Doesn't make any sense.
On top of everything else, she knows things burn, right?
Yeah, so exactly.
Let's put this in a wooden box behind this wooden wall in this very, very old house, or house that's going to be very, very old and made from wood.
Yeah, but and so I'm trying to think. I think that maybe Wilma, quote unquote, died and left the locket behind. That was her, like, as proof of her being alive. But again, that indicated that she would have had the half of the locket that was herself, but she didn't. And so this one makes no fucking sense. And so then they're just, and it doesn't even, no photo would have survived a fire. No, especially half, not even encased in the whole locket. And then it just, and you couldn't, and how did she figure out? Was there another body? Did she kill somebody else?
Exactly. Was it just sufficient to find a piece of jewelry in a somewhat burned house? I mean, like, the painting survived pretty handily.
Yeah.
I would imagine oil is pretty incendiary.
It really indicates that she murdered somebody, by the way. But that's
going to be on movies and mysteries.
Yeah.
I want to know why nobody wants to be buried with this damn true love locket.
I know. And then he overhears her talking to Valerie back at the antique shop. And then she's just like, I'm going to go call Sotheby's now. And then they hang up. And then he comes around the corner after eavesdropping, which, again, ingallant. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, congratulations, Amelia. You got everything you deserved. Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. You passive-aggressive asshole.
She's giving up her millions and millions of this Elizabethan treasure in exchange for the title to an antique store that
has already failed,
didn't
once.
Work and has been closed for decades to nobody's disdain. You know,
why wouldn't it have been something else that didn't work? It's like it would have been, what would have been good. Here's a how you'd fix it. It would have been fine if they'd been like, oh, you know, like
this was the light bulb shop.
No, not even.
This is an all Christmas hats shop. It didn't work.
I was going to say to be like, actually, it was a Starbucks, but corporate stuff just doesn't succeed here.
Yes.
Like that would have been cool because then you'd be like, oh, that's so funny. You know, like places try to open whatever, but we really like we're pretty dedicated to our locals. And so then therefore she decides, you know, what would be actually really cute. It would be as an antique shop. And or I don't know, something
would be a really cool dispensary. Because that's what they do here.
It's true.
Old vault.
Yeah.
An old bank.
Dispensary. Yeah. Or bar. But so then she's just like, she ends up forfeiting all of her money and donating it to the town and whatever. Yeah. And like that she tricks him into coming to the mayor's office by pretending to break in again. And I guess he just stares at that screen waiting for it to happen all day long.
Yeah.
And then he comes and just imagine choosing this man over Paris and or Amsterdam.
Yeah.
I would not choose this man over a visit to Paris, Texas, or a bottle of New Amsterdam vodka.
Well, maybe she went to Amsterdam first, and this man looks very different to her than he does to us.
I don't know. She must have been surrounded by some bad-looking dudes. But then,
I meant
for some reason,
psychedelics.
Oh, I see. And
it
then
was complicated.
But then we're there for some reason for the suburban ever after. Yeah. And like they're walking around and then they're just, she goes to give him a kiss and then she sees their ghosts.
Yeah.
Why?
How? Yeah. They're not at rest.
They're
they're pissed off that their carefully hidden half a locket has been disturbed.
Their finished business is now unfinished, but it didn't make any sense. It's like, they seem to be walking across like some front porch in Pioneer Town, but it's like, where are they?
Yeah.
Like they, it didn't make any sense. Oh my God. Did you like this movie?
I loved it. I actually wrote to Hallmark to find out if I could just do a novelization of it. Just for fun.
I just ordered the VHS.
Yeah.
Oh my God. How you could fix it. It's like, you would have to go so back to brass tacks. It's like, I think that you'd have to make it very simple that they're looking for something that people have always been looking for, and it will like, it'll change their lives and make her not happy in her normal life. So therefore, she just needs to change her life. Period. She always thought money and glamour would change it, but once she finds this place, she realizes she just needs to be happy, and she's been trying to find happiness.
Yeah.
And then she doesn't need the millions of dollars and whatever. And so she can instead, she's just going to own a place in London and own a place in fucking Massachusetts somewhere.
Yeah.
And
well, see, now I wanted to tell you, Lovejoy is like this, only good.
What's Lovejoy?
Ian McShane? I think he pronounces it weird, but Ian McShane, yes.
Okay.
That's what he got famous for. It was a BBC TV show.
Oh.
I almost said television. It was television, a BBC show. Television show.
Television program.
Yes. because it really could have been fun. So I think it could have been fixed with a good MacGuffin and, you know, just like a decent mystery that makes sense. It even makes sense to go from England to Massachusetts. Obviously it's been done before, but you know, so like maybe it's this is the chisel used to chisel Plymouth Rock or whatever. I don't know.
This is the tea. This is the titular tea.
Yes, this is the tea. Anyway, they could have done something better to make it a better mystery. That could have solved it. You can't. The romance never would have been compelling for me because this guy was a dud.
He was so boring and not very nice, and really just not an attractive dude to me.
No. But speaking of, I see that they're casting my favorite guy. He must be cheap. I don't even want to detail, you know, the one I just really can't stand. He's just in everything. He's like in next week's movie too.
Who
the guy who was on Good Witch, he seems miniature to me. And
oh, was he also in the Our Christmas Mural or something?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. You hate that guy.
I hate that guy.
What's next week's movie?
I've already forgotten.
Okay. I guess we'll find out.
You know, I got to say, I think that I really, there's a lot of stuff I could have bought a little bit better here just with the Christmas atmosphere, with Christmas decorations in my house and lots of snacks and cheese and the Christmas spirit.
It's fun in the holiday seasons to be like, you know, it's like the Yule log thing that we always say, but it's like, I don't know, it's like while I'm wrapping Christmas presents or while I'm cooking or whatever, it's like nice to just have like a moving image on the screen that is also festive and adds to the mood, the same way that having Christmas or, you know, whatever music on is fun too.
Yes.
It's like, it's just nice to be in theme and so it's a little bit different on a Sunday to just watch a bad movie in the middle of April.
Yeah. Exactly though. Exactly right. So. Ugh.
But we'll be back soon with the next one we can find and tolerate. So, yeah, thanks for listening. And we're so happy and we missed you guys. And, we did a couple episodes on Patreon if you missed us and wanted to find out more. All right, bye.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This Mother's Day, treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited-edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their advanced eye care duo brightens and firms skin around your eyes, while the Golden Glow Body Trio nourishes and smooths skin all over. Go to OSEAMalibu.com and use code MOM for 10% off your first order site-wide.